Tonight on TMSPM, how good is that dinosaur?
Blackest of Fridays.
Look, it's Connecticut Man.
Connecticut Man. Costco gets you sick.
Pope Kiss is the new cancer cure.
Ep time.
Your questions on Twitter and more on this episode of TMSPM.
This is the morning stream, but it's not in the morning, it's at night.
TMS PM.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS PM, the PM edition that we're actually doing on a Friday, which corresponds on the 27th of November, which also corresponds with the cover-thon run by one Brian Ibbett on coverville.com. Hello, Brian.
All of that is exactly right.
It's going good, right? You're going, everything's fine?
It is going good. 7 hours in. It's early. I'm not even a third of the way through.
Yeah, this is nothing. If you're starting to be pooped now, which I would be, by the way, I don't know how you do it. You got some kind of crazy stamina I do not possess when it comes to this sort of stuff.
Yeah, I don't know how I do it either. And you know, again, it's so early that when we start getting into the 3 a.m. hour, that's when I start questioning. I don't know why I do this either.
Well, the cause is good. The cause is great. Is good.
Right. Yeah. That's true.
And because it's so good, Brian will make the sacrifices that are needed. But I don't know how you're not dead by tomorrow. But you know what? You kind of are, like, brain dead a little bit.
Right.
And then Sunday kind of comes. You enjoy your nice long Sunday. And then Monday, we're back at it again on the morning stream. Right. So
this is a crazy week for TMS because with Thanksgiving, we did like a special Thanksgiving morning show.
Yep.
That people probably weren't expecting. We've got this bonus PM show.
Yeah, for a week, the 1 week of the year where we should probably have a couple of episodes off, and we make sure we squeeze them in. It's great.
Yes, exactly. We're smart.
That's right. We are very smart. Part of today's show, of course, will feature a cover in the middle, a cover at the end, like Brian's been playing all day. There'll be some fun trivia toward the end, a few little nooks and crannies that make it different than our usual TMS PM. But for those of you at home, sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever the hell it is we're dealing. Brian.
Yes, sir.
Real quick. Yesterday, I went and saw The Good Dinosaur.
Right. Stars Anne Hathaway from what's her name? She played Hathaway on ER. And now she plays The Good Dinosaur.
Well, wait a minute. It's a girl who plays that dinosaur? I wasn't aware of that. Is that true?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's the TV show. The Good Wife.
Oh, you're playing off The Good Wife, and you're thinking of the dinosaur movie called, I think it was called Dinosaur, I think. Very right, different film. Exactly. This one is, this one's called The Good Dinosaur.
Juliana Margulies is who I was thinking of. Yes.
Very different movie. But anyway, it doesn't matter because, look, if it's CGI dinosaurs you're looking for, boy, have I got a deal for you. It's a Pixar movie. And it's brand new, and it came out, and it's got Sam Elliott in it, is just one thing I'll say. He's amazing. He plays a T-Rex, cattle rustler.
Oh, that's awesome. Like, I'm just imagining a T-Rex with Sam Elliott's voice.
Oh, and when you see it, you'll be, he's the best thing in the movie. He's so great in it. Oh, my gosh. And he's this total cowboy rustler type. Who also happens to be a great big T-Rex. And these aren't dinosaurs running around in clothes or living in houses or any of that sort of thing. These are like, you know, straight up ass dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. What I didn't expect, I kind of thought I'd be going to see Pixar's, you know, more kid fare here. This is like, well, you know, In-N-Out was a little, Inside Out was a little more cerebral, you know. It's to make you think. It talks about human emotions and all that. So you kind of have to go in a little bit more, I don't know, mature towards such topics, and I thought, well, this dinosaur thing, this is just for kids, so
it's
going to
be cars with dinosaurs.
Yeah, it'll be light fun. Yeah, goofy light fun or whatever.
Right.
Nope. It's totally awesome. It is full on Pixar to the ninth degree. It is emotional as hell. It is hits on all these really interesting, important topics. Is some of the most beautiful scenery they've ever rendered on screen. I cannot believe half the time I was looking at an animated film. Because
wow,
it was
really?
So pretty. Oh, my gosh, dude.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's all like, so the premise goes like this, right? The Earth is out there floating like it does, the one we're on.
Right.
And it says, our Earth. Yeah, and it says 65 million years ago, and then it shows the Earth and a bunch of dinosaurs chowing down on whatever they're eating, and it kind of silhouetted, and there is a big meteor that gets knocked out of a ring, probably Saturn or something, comes hurtling toward Earth like the one that destroyed the dinosaur 65 million years ago. but it misses. So it's kind of a what if deal. So
it's what if, right?
Yeah, so you see it go over the top of the earth and all the dinosaurs look up for a second, then they go back to eating whatever they were doing. And then it says 3 million more, or however many millions of years later is when this picks up.
Oh,
and
okay.
By then, dinosaurs are farming and they're basically kind of where people are a few thousand years ago. Like it's very feudal and farms and cattle.
So when
and,
when you're saying it's that Sam Elliott's dinosaur is a cattle wrestler, he really is a cattle wrestler.
Yeah. He's a giant. He's a big T-Rex. He's not wearing clothes or anything. He's a big naked T-Rex lizard man, right? I mean, he's a big lizard.
Okay.
Or you know, a big dinosaur, and he's running around like one. He's got tiny little short arms and the big giant legs, and he's got his two offspring, his two kids with him. But they are rustling up. They call them longhorns, but they're basically bison with big horns, which I think is based on an actual extinct version of or a species of bison
that
is no longer around. But anyway, they rustle them up, and that's how they make their living. They rustle these longhorns, and they're not a giant part of the movie. They're maybe like a, I don't know, 20%. Maybe not even that much of the movie. There's just a chunk with them in there, and it's very memorable. Some of the best raptor looking things in the history of the world are in this movie. Better Call Saul Goodman is in it. He plays this crazy pterodactyl.
Bob Odenkirk?
Odenkirk, yeah.
Nice. Okay.
It's got a really sweet message. It's Pixar like you expect. My whole family's bawling their eyes out as usual. It's extremely well done.
Cool. And, so it's, but it is one of those that works on multiple levels. So it's, you know, your
totally
kids,
agree. Totally
little
agree.
Kids will enjoy it, but also the adults won't be like, oh, when is this thing in?
Yeah. I mean, it's colorful and fun and funny and it's all the things you want for your kid, right. But it deals with themes that are some of them are a little harsh, like, whoa, man, that's some big loss in the life of some of these characters. And, you know, there's some people who have deconstructed and said, just take a dash of the Lion King and throw in a little chunk of the whatever. And that's what this is. And sure, there's some story elements that maybe feel familiar, but I thought it was handled in an extremely awesome way, and I really related to it, and I loved it. So
that's
I think
really
people
cool.
should see it and not worry that you think it looks too goofy or too, you know, like this is the kid Pixar movie of the year. It's
right,
it's
right.
really, really good.
Awesome.
Yeah. So there's that. Just wanted to share that with you.
Cool. I'm all over it.
Well, good.
Yeah, that's one of the ones we still want to see while it's in theaters. We want to see Hunger Games, and we want to see Good Dinosaur.
Oh yeah, the final Hunger Games. Yeah,
that's right.
They're not
the last game.
The lonely,
the hungry kids.
The hungry kids are going to go into town, and they're going to tell Hawkeye from the MASH movie what's up.
Right, exactly.
All hell's going to
Brave.
Break.
I think she's going to be in there with her
Brave in there?
Bow and arrow.
Great, right? Brave. I like Brave. She's great. She has that horse and her arrows and whatnot.
Right.
Oh yeah, the Hunger Games. Everybody, catch it. All right.
That is exactly what it is.
News time. Oh, that's the wrong one. Here it is.
Radio today is different. Powerful networks span the nation from coast to coast. Shortwave radio girdles the globe.
We've got some evening news brought to you by...
Guess what? There's an all-new episode of Tell It Anyway just in time for Thanksgiving. This week, Jenny's guests include the one and only Molly Wood and me, Brian Ibbett. Oh, wow. It's actually the first time Molly and I have ever podcasted together. It's really amazing.
Yeah.
We're telling stories about questionable decisions in gardening, hair, and long-distance communication. Check it out at tellitanyway.com.
Did Molly know? I mean, you guys are on Skype, so you didn't have to know this, but did she know you podcast with your wiener out? Was she cool with that?
She was all right with it.
Okay.
For anybody that I podcast with, whether it's, you know, my own shows or guesting on somebody else's shows,
right.
There's a time period that it takes for them to get used to the fact that I do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's... It's a fact of podcasting. You know, a lot of people didn't know that Walter Cronkite didn't wear any pants.
No, the whole time.
When he was doing the news.
President Kennedy has been shot and my wiener's out.
Is there a draft in here?
What's going on?
That's what's up, biatches.
Side of him we never really got to see.
Right. Yeah, that was one of his alternative closing lines.
Connecticut man in the news. What's his power? Does he have a power? You're only 7 hours
man.
In. You should still have one if you're only 7 hours in. What do you got for Connecticut
yeah,
man?
Yeah, Connecticut man. Pompous. I'm totally kidding. I'm kidding.
Take that, Connecticut.
Talks without opening his mouth or separating his teeth.
Listen, here. Yeah, that sounds like him. Connecticut man who jumped the fence at the White House, he left a suicide note that included a Star Wars reference. So I don't know if you caught this news, but there was a guy who jumped the fence at the White House on Thanksgiving Day yesterday, left a suicide note that included a Star Wars reference and told his mother she may not see him again. Joseph Caputo, age 22. Lately, aren't they always?
Caputo?
Yeah,
Caputo. That's the guy from Orange is the New Black.
Oh, yeah, Caputo.
Caputo.
That's not.
No, different guy.
Different guy. Anyway, it was apprehended by Secret Service agents after running onto the North Lawn while President Barack, I think it's pronounced Oblama? I think
Obama.
I got that. Obama. Yeah. Okay, got it. Barack Obama and his family were celebrating the holiday. Caputo had been staying with friends in Virginia and left a note saying he wanted to die on November 26th, court documents show. Caputo also left an audio message for his mother and prepared a will.
Wow.
Death is a natural part of life, he says. Rejoice for those around us who transform into the Force, reads his note, referring to the power the Jedi use on the iconic Star Wars films. Great!
Wow.
How quick do you think? Let's just estimate. How quick till somebody starts blaming Star Wars? What do you think?
Oh.
How long? Because you know what's going to happen. Someone's going to do it.
No, nobody's. I can't imagine.
I can't.
It's not like there's... Star Wars isn't a violent... I know war is in the title. But it's not a violent film, right? It's not a...
Yeah, no one gets their hands like cut off. No one gets their heads lopped off.
Right. It's not like the stereotype rap music. Oh, that's what drove him to do it. Or listening to Insane Clown Posse drove him over the edge or whatever.
Yeah.
It's, you know, the... It's like seeing Disney. Well, it is. These days, it is like seeing Disney, right?
A little bit. But I just know how people can get. And I'll bet you somebody somewhere is like, well, if he wouldn't sit around watching Star Wars, he might have turned out normal. I guarantee it.
This sounds crazy because if you're a Star Wars fan,
yeah,
I don't care how bad things are for you right now, you're not going to off yourself before December 18th.
Right. Like, do you think his goal was, his goal doesn't seem to be hurt anybody. It was just to get himself killed.
Right. If he left a note. So I didn't hear anything about this. I take it he got shot because he jumped over the fence. That's how he died.
Did he die? I don't think he died though. I think he's just in custody. Let me see.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. I don't think he died. Joseph Caputo, death's a natural part of life. Okay. Said, went on to say, Connecticut resident always needs something to hold me back. And if people can say, I'd like to be held back, push forward.
Because this article makes it sound like he's dead. Yeah. Like he left a suicide note. And
We also shared the chance. Caputo seems as a big fan of comic books such as Captain America and Wonder Woman. What a dumb thing that is to say.
Right.
Oh, he appears to be a fan of the comic book heroes Captain America and somebody called Wonder Woman.
Well, see, there we go. Because Fox News had that thing a while ago that talked about how Captain America, this new Sam Wilson Falcon Captain America that's in the comics is, you know, way too liberal and, you know, doesn't exemplify the ideas of blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Those guys can all bite it though. Joseph Caputo arrested. He is in custody.
Okay,
and
so he's in custody, so he's all right.
He was apparently he did this. Well, we don't know if he's all right, but he's claiming that this is an act of civil disobedience. This is an act showing that our international policies suck and all of that. So I don't know why it was a suicide note because the other stuff, like I've people who protest, I'm down with it, man. You should be able to. It's part of the thing. If we stop letting people do that, then we got a real problem. But I don't think you need to jump that fence and think you're going to get shot and leave a suicide note. What the hell is that?
No. So we don't know. So he was protesting, but we don't know what he was protesting.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of this.
So this here's the I want to share some comments with you. Okay.
Okay.
Here it is on the blog post. Someone named Jack Dune wrote, "Anti-government. What happened to free speech? Nothing illegal for being anti-government." That's not the problem.
Right.
It's more about jumping over the fence of the White House and charging the building.
Yes,
it's got nothing to do with him and his opinions.
Exactly.
I can't stand it when people fold that crap into meaning what it doesn't mean. Come on, man. What's up, Jack Dune?
Which one of the presidential candidates on either side of the aisle is going to somehow use this to further their campaign?
Trump. Trump would.
So this guy, he's probably a really nice guy. He jumps over the fence, bing, boom, bong, lands on the White House lawn. Bing, boom, bong.
Starts running up there. How stupid is this guy?
Oh, wait. This just in. We have a quote from Trump on this issue. Here you go. Ready? Here you go.
Poor guy, you got to see this guy. Oh, I don't know what I said. Oh, remember, I had the old...
Okay, there you go. That's it.
Nice.
Good stuff. Anyway, I'm more bugged by these comments than I am the article. This other guy says he would not have dared do that if a Republican occupied the White House. Oh, really? Geez. Is that the direction we're going to go? Because do you know how many people charged the White House when there were Republicans in there? Do you know how many people at Reagan that day? Well, I guess one guy did, but... You know, this I can't stand this line of thinking. And I'm not saying it's just right-wingers, dude. I'm saying it's all y'all. Y'all are freaking nuts. Knock it off. Quit saying stupid shit on the internet.
It's the position of this presidency to welcome all people, all crazy people, who decide they want to jump over the fence.
Yeah.
And, if this is a Republican one,
it's like, what does that even mean? That's like saying... Yeah, well, if this was a Republican president, 9/11 would have never happened. Wait a minute. Right. There was one in there then.
It was a Republican president.
Yeah, yes, if there wasn't for Bill Clinton, we would have... Whatever, man. They all do it. Everything happens all the time to everybody. Quit acting like you got this all figured out, you bunch of weird commenters on the internet.
Right.
I'm all up in arms here.
I know. And yes, Tondigo said there was a little bit of Rick in my
Obama. Morty, we got to get out of here, Morty. All right.
Exactly.
Speaking of which, you know what I really liked today from Film Sack this morning?
What's that?
Right here. Where is it?
Please excuse me for just one moment. I do apologize.
Anyway, remind me of that. See, the CDC, the Center for Disease Control.
Sure.
Where they really goofed up that first season of the Walking Dead. Yeah. Although I like that actor a lot, but anyway, CDC, sees a celery blend as the likely cause for the Costco E. coli outbreak. That's electronic coli. You're not familiar with it.
Right, the new digital form of coli.
Yeah, the coli that you can get on your email. Right. The blend of diced celery and onions used to make a Costco wholesale corpse rotisserie chicken salad is likely the cause of the E. coli outbreak that has sickened at least 19 people in 7 states. According to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. I told my wife the other day, do not buy the chicken salad at Costco. And she wrote me back and she says, 19 people out of 300 million? Why are we freaking out again? I'm like, just don't buy the salad. It's fine.
Right. Yeah.
Let's see. Health officials in Montana tested a sample of the celery and onion blend from a Costco store in that state and found E. coli. Ooh.
There you go. So it's not just a likely candidate. We're saying, boom, that's the stuff.
It is, and it's not. So they're not like at this point. They're not pointing at Costco where the failure is. They're pointing at the distributor of
Taylor
the
Farms,
of the right. yeah of the whatever you call it the celery, right. which is gross anyway, and you shouldn't eat it.
Thank God it wasn't Kirkland, like Kirkland products.
Yeah.
Because they would have to recall everything at Costco.
Yeah, they would. They'd be all right. Chili, toilet paper, bottled water. What else?
Ceramic planters. Yep. Probably have E. coli in them.
Yep. You got your porch furniture and right. meatballs. Get them all
it's
back.
It's really
here.
Bad when your toilet paper has E. coli. That's when you've got to worry.
That's when you're sending it up the well, not the other way around. So watch out for that, everybody. Let's see. Some people have got, I guess some people who developed a certain type of kidney failure known as hemolytic uremic syndrome, and that's bad. E. coli, not good. Nobody wants that. Finally,
sure.
The Pope has a way to solve all your problems, and one of them is cancer, turns out. Baby's tumor. There's a baby whose tumor shrunk after the Pope kissed the baby.
Whoa.
Yeah, baby Gianna Maschinatino, Tonio, when you hear your family. developed a rare brain tumor just weeks after her birth last year when she was her red blood cells were attacked by her brain stem. After multiple chemotherapy treatments, an August brain scan revealed... Oh, this is terrible for a little baby.
Really
revealed that the tumor was still there, and the parents, Joey and Christian Maschiantonio. Thank you. You're better
Gianna
at these Italian
Maschiantonio.
Names.
Can I get the sauce on the side, please?
I don't Thanks. Know. Is it laundry, tanning, and gym or something? Whatever. Decided to do one more round of chemo before withdrawing treatment and enjoying their final days together, reports the San Francisco Chronicle. Then in September, they got a call from the FBI friend who secured them passes to see the Pope during his visit in Philadelphia. And this all according to NBC News. This is USA Today, by the way. This is in some fake article. He kissed the baby, got permission to meet the baby, right?
I'm looking to get a new iPhone.
Oh, what the hell is that?
Son.
Gosh dang it. Well, we have it. And thanks a lot.
Brought to you by AT&T. Jerks.
Anyway, the security let the baby come forward, and the Pope kissed him right on the forehead, or the baby on the forehead.
Right.
Excuse me. And then 2 months later, scans revealed her tumor is smaller, and the doctors have changed the original grim prognosis to something that may be survivable. It was luck of the draw, her father said. But while he believes in divine intervention, he's also careful not to dismiss the role of the doctors treating his daughter. The kiss was God's work, that's for sure. But the miracle was him saving or giving us the platform to reach those doctors who ultimately played a major role in saving her life. Well, wow. Good. I'm glad we got some rationality coming out of the dad.
Totally. Oh, this just in. Mm-hmm. Costco has asked the Pope to come out and kiss their chicken salad.
Where's the chicken salad? I kiss his chicken salad.
Credit Carl in the chat room for the inspiration for that joke.
That's pretty funny. Nice job. anyway, so if you need that fix, go get kissed by the Pope. That's the deal there. Let's take a break. Brian has been doing cover music all morning and afternoon. He's going to do way more tonight and tomorrow, but why not do one now? Brian, did you bring some music to break us
up? Right. I did. So this is brand new. This came out this year and was requested on the morning stream request page by T-Nock to celebrate my beginning steps into the world of, oh no, different song. There we go. This is a request by Matt B. Completely different person. For no particular occasion, I'd like to request the cover of Simon & Garfunkel's Sound of Silence by Natalie Prass from her new EP, Side by Side. Finding this singer was one of my favorite musical discoveries of 2015, and I'd love to hear her voice on TMS. Well, granted, your wish is my command, Matt B.
Wow.
I haven't even heard this yet. I picked it up just based on that description. So if it sucks, then, we'll fit something else in here. But this, I'm sure it won't suck. This is Natalie Prass and her cover of Sound of Silence.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. Such dreams I walk alone, narrow streets of cobblestone, neath the halo of a street lamp, I turn my collar to the cold and damp. Oh, when my eyes, they will step by the neon light that split the night and touch the sound. And in the naked light I saw
That was Natalie Press and her cover of Sound of Silence.
Nice. So, you know what? It was literally the Sound of Silence for me.
That's hilarious. I didn't even think about that, but that is like, that's irony right there. Is that,
I didn't hear a thing.
The way we're doing this. Yeah.
People at home, you won't know because I inserted the song, but the way we had to do it with Ryan's live setup is I couldn't actually hear it. So the fact that that was called the Sound of Silence is really precious. That's really awesome.
That's great.
Well, all right. Welcome back, everybody. And it's good to be back. Let's get to some app time. What about some app time?
Yes. Not nap time, but app time.
App time. We like to recommend apps when we don't have either Garrett or Dan in here doing their thing. So that's what this week is. And it's been an interesting week because app-wise, I've not only... So I got... and I've told some people on the show about this before. I haven't gone and done a full sort of review yet. I plan to. Part of it is me getting more time with it so I can give a as comprehensive a look as I can. But I picked up an iPad Pro, and thanks to Brian, was able to get my hands on one of the pencils, even though they're super backordered right now.
Right.
He got lucky there in Colorado and through a friend and then got me lucky. Brian, I got lucky with Brian, let's put it that way. Take that for what you want. Anyway, so I've had my hands on it, been able to mess with it, and really like it a lot. And the pencil is delivering what they said it would, and it's working really well with the platform. And I gotta tell you that that's kind of been my focus. So because of that, the apps I've been playing with have been ones where I'm like, all right, well, what's going to take good advantage of this larger format and so on. Turns out I had a lot of apps already that do pretty well. I was, from an art perspective, I was impressed with what Adobe was doing, but there are a few features that I think are lacking. I'm sure some of that will be updated and changed. Some of this stuff felt like it came out a little fast because they had to hurry up and be ready, and I think there's some features they're missing. So I'll keep my eye on that because that all comes with my Adobe CC subscription anyway, which has really nice desktop integration and all that. But
really does, yeah.
Yeah. I ended up settling on an app I already owned and forgot about, and that app is called Procreate for the iPad, and it has been around for a while. I want to say since 2012 or maybe 11 on iPad that has used, you know, various styluses and you know, of course, finger painting and that sort of thing. But it's been you know, widely regarded as a pretty good, very artistically focused app, whereas other apps are kind of like, you can edit your photos. Oh, and if you want, you can draw stuff. And, you know, they kind of try to be sort of apps for everything, a bit like Photoshop in a way. But this app's very focused on, you want to paint stuff, you want to draw things, you want to make ink and black and white and color and full-on oil painting looking stuff, whatever, then hey, buddy, have we got a deal for you. And they saddle on up to the thing and they give you your app and there it is. It's like $6. And I bought it forever ago, so I already owned it. I just downloaded it, started playing with it. And it is great, really great. Here's my favorite thing about it. So all the stuff you'd expect, layers and brush types, and it all uses the built-in stuff that's part of this new pencil and iPad combo. So all the pressure sensitivity, the tilt the thing on its side and get broader strokes, all that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. But the one thing I didn't know it had is a playback feature. Right. And I didn't know this existed. So I get done with this first little sketch I did, and I went up top and I see this thing says instant replay. I'm like, what the hell's that? And I thought it meant like, oh, it's like a undo or it'll go back to your last five steps or something. I didn't know what it meant. I hit it and it goes all the way to the beginning when I started putting pen to screen and like time lapse all the way up to finished pretty quickly. It's fast. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't record downtime when you're not touching the screen. You could go a month in between drawing and it would act like you just never left. Wow. And it just animates this thing to life. And then suddenly there's your finished thing. I think, well, that's pretty cool. I can show people on the screen. But then I figured out I can share that thing out as a video. I can put it on YouTube. I can stick it up on Instagram or Vine or whatever I want. Attach it to a text to somebody and say, hey, look at this thing I'm drawing. And it's a
really cool effect, too, mm-hmm. when you play it back like that.
Yes, it's awesome.
You know, it just creates, it just builds while you're watching it.
Yeah, it's cool. It's like, I don't know what to compare it to. It's like... Jeez, I don't know. Yeah, it's like that style.
Well, there's that style of animation that they had for a while where you'd actually see stuff getting erased and getting smudged and something new being built on top of it. And it would be, it's not like you'd see somebody's hands and a pencil or anything in front of it. You would just see the stuff kind of build and happen.
That's a really good way to describe it. And that's kind of what kind of blew my mind about it. I thought, I don't know what I expected. I just didn't expect this app to do all this cool stuff. So it's just got great ways of sharing what I'm creating, sending it to other people, maybe even work that I'm working on for somebody. They can see the work in progress. They know what I'm doing, what I'm working on. Of course, all the other formats are supported. I can poop it right out to a PSD via Dropbox, and bam, I'm editing it on the desktop in Photoshop when I need to. So like all this kind of workflow stuff's taken care of. I guess I just came away, again, already owning that app. I thought, oh, well, this is no big deal. You know, it's something I already played with. It can't be that great. Turns out it's the best
one. It is. It really is the best thing.
It's
super
strong.
For the pencil.
So, Brian, I just sent you a text with my latest. You can watch it at your leisure.
Oh, cool.
But anyway, that's my app for the week. It's really, really good. And one tiny little mention of a phone app I picked up called Chromatic Souls. I believe this is available on both Android and iOS. And there are a million of these games. Take four role player dudes, take them out in the world, kill some stuff, earn some gold and gear, go back to your little town, do some quests, speed up some crap if you want to. You know, like the free-to-play RPG business is nothing new, right?
Mm-hmm.
They all do a pretty decent job at this kind of game, but for whatever reason, even despite its weird anime trappings, which I usually don't like,
right?
This game looks so good. It is so graphically cool. And it's still got that kind of looty, grindy, I can't stop playing it kind of factor that a lot of these games have. And so far, the free-to-play stuff hasn't reared its head at all for me, and I can't stop toilet time in that game. It's really, really good. It's called Chromatic Souls, and worth it if you just like a good turn-based RPG with lots of abilities and skills and characters you unlock and leveling.
Yeah, total Final Fantasy Wild Arms.
Yeah. Totally that look. Yeah, but it feels more like a Western RPG. That's what's weird about it. It doesn't feel like a Japanese RPG except in the visuals. But even then, the visuals, the actual like animation and stuff is so nifty. It's super cool.
That's cool. I'm looking at gameplay video of it right now. It's kind of got a Fire Emblem kind of feel to it, which I guess was a Westernized.
Kind of, yes, sort of ish.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
but I guess
Nintendo
that's more like
thing.
You know, you can move exactly five spaces. This is
like you go out in the world and boom, oh, you've encountered or whatever. What abilities do you want to use? And it's still turn based, but and it's hard to explain because there's a million games that are doing this, and they've come and gone and come and gone. For whatever reason, though, this one like feels like it stuck the landing for me, and I really like it. So
very cool.
So
well,
when
I'm picking
not
this one up too.
Yeah, I played that on the Pro. It's funny because it's humongous on there.
Does it? Do they have an iPad version?
Oh
or
yeah,
you,
it's
what,
on
are
it.
You doing the?
You
okay,
can do it
so
on
you're
anything.
You're not doing
yeah.
like the iPhone version. Like, boy, there's one app that I use that's iPhone only. Mm-hmm. It's the Harvest billing and client management app.
Oh, yeah.
And they used to have an iPad version. On my iPad Air 2, I've got the full iPad version. Mm-hmm. But when I downloaded the same thing for my iPad Pro, it only lets you have the iPhone version. If you go to the store now, the only thing is the iPhone version.
Oh, weird.
And so it blows it up to the 2x magnification. But then, of course, because you're on an iPad Pro, it extends it beyond that. And mm-hmm. It's like you're working with Duplo blocks.
You know, it does feel like that sometimes. Like some games are perfectly suited to it. You're like, oh, this strategy game, like Loot and what's that one called?
Loot and Legends. Yeah.
Loot and Legends is tailor made for this. But
yes.
Then you'll play a game like some twin stick shooter or something. You're like, holy shit! It's like I picked my TV up and moving it around. You know, it's really weird.
Right.
But the nice thing about this game, I should mention also, is that it is. The saves and stuff are all cloud saves, so I can move back and forth from my phone to the tablet to my phone back again, and it's all my stuff is, you know, I don't have to have extra saves. It's all saving on the same save.
Cool.
So that's kind of nice. Anyway, so those are my recommendations. What do you got, man? What do you got?
I'm downloading it right now, Chromatic Souls. But while that's downloading, I'm going to tell you about what's been tickling my fancy, which is a game called Agent A.
All right.
This is kind of that perfect marriage between a really cool walkthrough puzzle game, kind of like Myst or, what's another good example of this? There was one that I recommended last year that was black and white.
Oh, right.
It was very mysterious looking and you had to kind of figure things out. This is the same kind of thing where it is, you're a spy and you're navigating, you're chasing a villain character, and she's left all these little hidden things in her house. and you've got to open doors and figure out how to get through this lock and uncover this thing and figure out that thing. And it's really, the style on this thing is so cool. It feels like a very stylized, like Sly Cooper kind of feel from the PlayStation game, that cool, I love that cartoon style.
Yeah,
that
it's Sly great,
Cooper
right?
has. Yeah. This has got that, and it's engaging. It's a quick play. Like, you'll get, you know, a couple good hours of playtime with it, but it's compelling and creative enough that it'll keep you entertained for quite a while.
That sounds all right. Yeah, you haven't talked about that one yet. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, very cool. Agent A, it's available. I know it's on iOS. I don't know if it's on Android.
Yeah.
But worth it if you've got if you've got iOS.
All right, well, there you go. Check it out, Android people. You'll let us know if it's there. You always do.
Yes, they do.
You always do. All right, it's time for Twitter time. Twitter questions. And then we'll get to my trivia. I'm so excited about this.
Yes.
This is where we take your Twitter questions out the ask hashtag, or the hashtag ask TMS on Twitter, and you guys send us things, and that's always good. So Ralph is our first candidate. He says, pick one Thanksgiving food you have to eat every meal. All right. So we're going to do that first, and then he has a follow-up. So what Thanksgiving food you have to have at every meal? My answer is easy. It's turkey, because you can prepare it in a thousand ways.
Totally love turkey. Yeah, it's true. Dark meat, light meat.
Yep.
It can be different no matter how you do it. So I would get sick of sweet potatoes. I'd get sick of stuffing,
mm-hmm.
cranberries, whatever.
Yep.
But I don't think I'd ever get sick of turkey.
You can do so much with turkey. So I'm in the turkey crowd. Now that he says, pick one Thanksgiving food you can never have again. Not that you never want to, but you just wouldn't ever get.
You have to. You never get to have this thing again.
Yep.
Ooh.
Think of that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there is a.
This is a hard one.
It's funny. Yesterday, somebody brought up green bean casserole. We didn't have that with our Thanksgiving thing, but somebody said that is a thing that can traditionally be served with Thanksgiving. I'd be okay in never having.
You're cool with not having that.
I'm cool with
again.
Never having green bean casserole again. Yeah.
Oh, I think you took the best one. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Yeah, that's it. I'm not. I like I assume I can still have cranberries in other forms. It just can't necessarily. It's just not necessarily going to be. You know, like
I don't know.
That's a good point. Maybe
you give up cranberries, then you're giving up.
So that means cranberry juice. It means cranberries by themselves, like craisins. I wouldn't be able to eat those. I love those.
No more ocean spray.
Oh, F that, dude. We're keeping the cranberries. All right, the green bean casserole.
What about pumpkin pie?
You know what? Totally can get rid of pumpkin pie.
There you go.
Not a fan. Get rid of it.
Tina doesn't like it either. We always have to have some other kind of pie in addition to pumpkin pie. I'm a big pumpkin pie fan.
Of course you are. You're a Renaissance man. My daughter made a pumpkin pie, an ice cream pumpkin pie. Sadly, it wasn't for our Thanksgiving. It was for her in-laws, but it was apparently amazing. So I guess there may be a way I might like pumpkin pie. We'll have to find out.
There you go. See, they'll put pumpkin spice in everything.
Kevin Douglas asks, thought experiment, if your dog had a job, what would he or she get you for Christmas? That's pretty good.
Like that. It's not even like, you know, if they have an allowance.
Mm-hmm.
It's that they have a job.
Yep.
And they went out to the store after their job, after they get their paycheck and bought something. Probably shoes, mm-hmm. because that's the part of me that my dog sees the most.
Mm-hmm.
So she would probably buy me a new pair of shoes.
Nice.
Slippers, yeah.
Okay. She'd be all right with that.
Right. How about yours?
My dog's so dumb sometimes. She's smart and dumb at the same time. It's a really weird combo, that dog. If she had a job and had money, probably would get me. The obvious thing is more snacks for her, but
right, of course.
Yeah. Probably get her. I know. She would get me. I know what she'd get me. She'd get me one of those balls and the hucker things you use with that you can pick them up.
Oh, yeah, the tennis balls with the little. Catapult thing?
Yeah, the little scooper horn thing that you pick up the ball with. I think she would love one of those.
That's right. Yeah, it's like the kid who gets the video game that they want for their dad so that they can play it with their dad. But
Yeah, that's definitely a thing.
I might change my answer to my dog would buy me charcoal-lined, charcoal-filtered underwear.
Oh, my Lord. Really?
For my farts, you know, so that...
I heard Tina laugh. That was the best part of that, was Tina laughing.
Right. I've got a microphone turned off, but you can still hear through mine.
That's amazing. All right, let's do a couple more here. We got one from, oh, brand new one here from Justin Scott, who says, did you guys get anything this Black Friday? Well, you've been cover-thoning, so
I didn't.
Yeah. But you never
do.
You
know, I didn't even go out last night for anything. There's nothing. There's nothing that I'd buy that I just can't get online. Right.
Yes. I'm with you, and I can get it kind of all year, and it's not like, you know, I'm not saying we're just a bunch of, you know, just throw money at everything, but if you see a pair of shoes you need, and it's August, you just freaking get them. You don't put them on a list and wait.
Well, and not only that, but I mean, all right, so you maybe save $2 on Star Wars Battlefront. Not enough to make me go out and deal with people.
Right. Oh, the people. Have you seen some of the videos coming out today?
I have not. No.
Like ladies ripping toys out of kids' hands and running away from them, and just like, it's so stupid.
It really is.
A bunch of companies boycotted it this year. They were like, you know what? We don't want to contribute to this. This is.
I love that. Yeah. I respect any company. Like REI said, yeah, we're not doing Black Friday. We're closed. We want our families to enjoy the holiday with their loved ones. We're not doing Thanksgiving late night. We're not doing Black Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's just. To me, look, I'm no perfect man, but it doesn't seem good for us as a society to be trampling each other on one day of the year. It seems dumb to me.
Thanks, President Lincoln.
Yeah, thanks, Lincoln. Thanks a lot, Lincoln.
For federalizing Thanksgiving so that the next day would be a big sales day.
Thanks, Lincoln. I'll do one more here. We got one from, and then we'll get to trivia here real quick. Okay. Francois Wilderman says, Mad Max or Waterworld? That's easy.
Yeah, he's not asking me.
Yeah. I mean, and even if he's asking me, it's Mad Max all the way.
Wet Road or Fury Road?
I mean, don't get me wrong. They both have their place. I love that they both exist. Right. But Fury Road is one of the greatest things ever made. Waterworld is a guilty pleasure, but I'm not going to put it ahead of Mad Max. Are you kidding?
Sure. No.
But he's not wrong to put the two there, because they both scratch an itch I have. So
they do, totally. And you could easily see a Mad Max on water kind of hybrid, where it's, you know, the jet skis and it's him in a souped up catamaran like Kevin Costner had, and he's like, you know, having to do things to kind of evade getting caught with it.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm a big proponent of both, but I'm all Fury Road all the time.
Right.
And Brian is obviously for Fury Road, or any of the Mad
Maxes. I'm definitely for Fury Road between those two. Yeah, for sure.
What if you compared, now if you ask me Thunderdome or Waterworld, I'd probably go Waterworld. Because I think Thunderdome's just kind of throwaway. I wouldn't say that about Road Warrior or even, first, I don't like the first one either. Like, for me, Mad Max is Road Warrior and Fury Road, the two road movies.
Yeah.
And everything else kind of poo.
I like Thunderdome. I feel like it's it's not the throwaway. It's not the silly movie. All the most memorable things you think of when you think of Thunderdome, with Tina Turner and Who Runs Bada Town, and and the kids telling their story, you know, with the fake moving picture puppet show, which I think is really cool. But you think of all that stuff and it's like, God, that movie is cheesy. But it had a great chase scene at the end all that stuff.
No, I completely agree.
And that's what those movies, you know, the original Gibson Road Warrior movies were all about, was blah, 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 chase scene.
Yeah, yep. That was it, right? That was it. It
really was, yeah.
Well, I'm a fan of all these things that we've talked about and more. Thank you for your Twitter questions. Ask TMS is the hashtag. Keep that up. We'll do it again next time we have a TMS PM edition. Cool. Brian, let's throw it to you for some trivia, man.
Yes. Now, here's a tricky one, because the random number generator.
Hour 7, everybody. Hour 7. That's where we're at.
That's right. Yep. Mushmouth Brian. Yep. Pulled up 43, which was Linky McScott's tweet. Now, Linky McScott's has been here, part of the cover-thon. He's been participating. He's been in the chat room the whole time. He's also the person who gave me all these trivia questions.
Okay.
So I'm still going to give you, oh, you know, it doesn't matter because I'm not giving him the trivia questions. I'm asking you the trivia questions.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you have it then.
Duh. I'm going to give you your choice of some very difficult. Oh, you know what? No, these are, I think you could probably do these. These are DC Comics trivia questions.
Okay. All right.
And you're a DC guy more than a Marvel guy, I think, right?
I like them both. Yeah. But yeah, I do. I there's a lot in DC I like.
Yeah. All right. I think you should be good with this. All right. Question number one. First Green Lantern Alan Scott had a very strange weakness. What was it? So, you know, the Hal Jordan had yellow was his weakness.
Yeah.
What was Alan Scott Green Lantern? What was his weakness?
Well, it wasn't green.
It wasn't green. We can rule that out. And I'll tell you this, it wasn't a color either.
Oh, it wasn't a color. Okay.
No.
I'm going to say, I should know this. Moonlight?
It was not moonlight.
Damn it!
It was wood.
What?
Wood, yeah. His weakness was wood. His ring had no control over wood.
What? Okay.
So he couldn't make like a...
What the heck?
A log truck. He couldn't make like a logging truck and carry wood.
All right. I guess, okay. I don't know what to think about that.
That's hilarious. Oh, I never talked about what the prize was. So I did say that the big prize is the Coverthon flask.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So here's what we're adding to it. So if you get this next question right. Oh, this is perfect. We're going to add this really cool poster, which is a Wonder Woman She Can Do It poster that's kind of modeled after the Rosie the Riveter, like those cool World War II posters.
I know what you're talking about.
We can do it. Yeah, I can't remember what her. It wasn't Rosie the Riveter. Was it Rosie?
Yeah, Rosie the Riveter. Yeah, she had the muscle going like. Yeah,
she had the muscle, the bandana on her head. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay. Speaking of Green Lantern, Green Lanterns use willpower to control their rings. What powers Red Lantern's rings?
Oh, geez.
So if green was willpower, what was the equivalent emotion for Red Lanterns?
Of a Green Lantern guy, so these are missing me. Okay, but that's okay.
This is the last of the Green Lantern questions. So.
Red Lantern guy. He used concentration.
No,
damn it,
rage.
Always pissed. Oh, I should have thought of that because red for rage or exactly. Red for red's angry. Got it. All right.
Okay. All right. Going easier on you here.
Damn it.
What is the real name of the Martian Manhunter?
Jean Valjean. Jean, hold on. Uh-huh. It's definitely not Jean Valjean. It's Jean. Oh my gosh. Jean. Oh, this is going to irritate the hell out of me.
Oh my God, you're so close.
It's close. Jean, and they would call him John.
Yes.
And his last name, not really last name, but they'd call it his last name, was Jean Shit Tarts. I can't think of it. What is it?
Jean Jones.
Oh, Jones! Gosh dang it!
J-O-N-Z-Z, yeah.
All right. I'm an idiot.
I like Jean-Luc Picard, Jean-Claude Van Damme in the chat room. All recommendations. Okay. I see we need to go a little bit easier. Okay.
All right.
Let's see. Who is the fictional impish supervillain, sometimes anti-hero, that appears in DC Comics Superman?
Oh. Fictional super... Wait, say that. Oh, give me a sense.
They're all fictional, right?
Yeah.
Impish supervillain.
Impish supervillain.
Yes.
And it's in the DC...
Line. It's in DC Universe.
Oh,
right?
He's the little teeny dude that's a part of the Green Lantern stuff.
No, but I know you're thinking of
Brainiac.
Green Lantern too?
Is it Brainiac?
It's not Brainiac,
I
know. Yeah, no. Think of Superman. I'm going to give you another shot at this.
Okay.
He's got a little bowler hat.
Okay.
Do I need to say that you need to say make him say his name backwards for him to?
Well, if it's Bob, we're screwed. Oh, this is gonna really bother me that I don't know this because the minute you say it, I'm gonna know it. Shit. Yeah. What is it backwards?
Oh, I don't know what it is backwards, but forwards it's Mixius Pitalik. Mr. Mixuspitalik.
Oh.
Mixelplick.
Oh, Mr. Mixelplick.
Yeah, Mr. Mixelplick.
That's his name.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. No, that's the answer.
Yeah, that is the answer.
Oh, okay.
I thought that's what we were going for. Is I know, you don't you're know, right. So what's the answer?
No, you got it right. I got it wrong. Yes, you're telling me the correct thing you're supposed to tell me. I'm being an idiot. I'm the best trivia player of all time. I want
you're
to
really good
this.
At this. Yeah. Let's see here. How about who killed Superman?
Apocalypse. No. Oh. Oh, wait. Who killed Superman? It wasn't Apocalypse?
It wasn't Apocalypse. But it's a character who's got a name very similar in meaning to Apocalypse.
Death. Wait, not Deathstroke. Apocalypse. It's a word like Apocalypse?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like it's almost a semiphone. What's the homophone is one that sounds like it. Synonym. It's almost a synonym.
It's a synonym.
Right.
Okay. Let me think about that for a second. So Apocalypse, it's like Apocalypse. Right. Except not.
Look at this thesaurus, Tina says.
No, I have no idea.
Doomsday.
Doomsday. Gosh dang it. I knew this. You fight him in that DC versus Mortal Kombat game. Yeah. Frick.
Yep.
All right. Well, that was dumb.
So, you know what? We're going to throw in. He's still going to get. He's going to get the flask. He's going to get the We Can Do It poster anyway. And he's going to. Parlor Muse, Day Before the Feast CD. Congratulations, Linky McScotts. You're still getting all these awesome prizes. So that's funny. He says, this is the definition of irony. I made trivia questions that are so tough, it keeps me from winning prizes.
That's just how good they are, man.
Well put. Yes,
wow.
Exactly.
I guess I'm impressed with those questions. That's actually kind of insane.
They were tough.
Yeah.
They really were tough. I would have gotten Mixelplick. I think I would have gotten John Jones, and I would have gotten Superman, but I would not have gotten Wood Lantern and...
Yeah, Wood Lantern, dude, basically, is what that is.
Exactly, right.
Yeah,
might
I don't...
Might as well be Wood Lantern.
I'm not a big fan of the Wood Lantern.
No.
I'm never going to really root for him. That's such a dumb thing to be, like, it not really afraid is. Of, but, like, exposed to. Like, Wood? Really? Weird.
Right.
Anyway... well, there you go. Fun times as always.
Yes.
That stuff was great. Hey, everybody. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. I hope you had a safe Friday. I hope a bunch of it was spent watching Brian and helping him out. Make sure you donate to this thing because, gosh dang it, Alzheimer's sucks.
Right.
That much I know. What else? That's it. Let's get out of here. You want to be done with this show here?
Let's be done. Let's be done.
Patreon.com/TMS. That's where you can support the show. Please do that. Once you've supported this this cause, then think about that one, all right? That's the order now. Website is frogpants.com/TMS. Phone number is 801-471-0462. Email us themorningstream@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter @Coverville, @ScottJohnson, @morningstream. And find us on Reddit @frogpants.reddit.com. I think that's going to do it then. Should we do another final song before we go?
Let's do a final song and a final bit of silence for you.
Yeah, that'd be great.
We listen to this song.
All right.
This one was requested by Frusciante Land. It is a cover of the Ace of Base track, All That She Wants, performed here by The Kooks. This is great, actually. And that'll do it. So, Scott, I'm going to play this and we're done.
Yeah, have fun with those angry chickens.
Thanks. Yeah, they're coming up right next,
everybody.
7 hours.
Right
next. Coming up next, right after this track. Here are the Kooks and All That She Wants.
Bye. When she woke up.
another baby. She's gone tomorrow. All that she wants is another baby. Yeah. All that she wants is another baby. She's gone tomorrow. All that she wants.
Network. Get more at frogpants.com.